Well, welcome, everybody. Okay, guys, come on. You know I need some feedback. And when like two people scream, that's not it, okay? Kids pastor, everybody's talking like all the time, okay? So let's try that again. How is everybody this morning? Oh, yes. That just feeds my soul. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Well, I am so excited to be here. Pastor Mrs. Hagen, Pastor Denise, Pastor Craig, thank you for the opportunity. It's very humbling to stand here before you today. And I do believe that the Lord has put on my heart a word for right now. We are, you know, actually, as they started singing that song and talking about a fresh revival, that's what we're talking about. What does it take to bring revival back? Right? We're talking about glowing this morning. And by glow, it's go light our world. We are called to be a light to this world. Amen? And I don't know, sometimes I don't think the Christians as a whole are doing a great job. I think we could all do better, right? Myself included. Listen, I was writing this sermon and stepping on my own toes, going, oh, I could do a better job there. I could do a better job in that area. So are we ready to tackle this and see what it takes, what it requires to truly go and glow to the world around us? Amen. All right, so we're going to open our Bibles. I hope you brought your Bible. It is church. My notes are written out. I know I don't have my Bible up here, but I have the word in my notes. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 in the New Living Translation, I can talk. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. No, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine before men so that everyone will praise who? Not you. Praise our Heavenly Father, right? That's what we're called to do. We are called to be the light of the world. Everything we say or do should point right back to Him. Amen? And I don't know about you guys, but I need some help with that sometimes too, because we all have flesh, right? We are called by Jesus to stand out. We should not be hidden in the back, right? So let's pray real quick, and then we're going to dive into this, okay? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence today, Father. Thank you for each and every person that is here today. I believe that their spiritual eyes and hearts are open, that they are ready to receive. Let the words that come out of my mouth not be my words, but be your words, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in theory, to glow seems pretty easy, right? I mean, it kind of like, okay, yeah, we glow, we're a light, you know, yippee. But what exactly does that mean? So I've got 4 points today on what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me that it's going to require in these last days to glow to the world around us, okay? So number one, to glow requires a godly boldness. Now listen, there's a lot of loud people out there, but loud doesn't equal bold. There's a lot of noise in this world, both on unbelievers and believers, right? But just because someone's loud doesn't mean that they're bold. Boldness, defined by dictionary.com, is actually a lack of hesitation or fear in the face of risk or danger. There's a lot of keyboard warriors out there that they don't have any danger, truly, but they can say whatever they want to say, right? But they might say it in the face of, oh, I'm being bold. No, you're not. You're hiding behind your keyboard, right? Let's be honest here, okay? It requires death to self. If it's easy for you to do something, it's not requiring boldness. You know, you think about it. Jesus was bold in everything that he did, but he never did it just to be loud or to cause an argument, right? Godly boldness isn't yelling at people, demanding that they change their ways, telling them all the sin that they're in. Is that gonna change anybody's mind? I mean, it's not gonna change my mind. It's not getting on Facebook, hopping on someone's controversial posts and putting your little piece of information in there and then, you know, posting as anonymous member so nobody sees it. Come on, guys, that's not boldness, right? We're not winning anybody by doing that, okay? Boldness isn't always something that we say. Actions speak a lot louder than words. I'm sure you've all heard that, right? Actions speak louder than words. Sometimes boldness is simply just standing up for Jesus in a world that hates him. Might be just walking away from a situation, not arguing, even when you're being baited. Right? Sometimes that's all it is. You know, there are lots of examples of boldness in the Bible, of course. We could go on and on about all the examples of boldness. But one of the ones that I actually kind of stumbled upon when I was researching this and studying that we don't talk about a lot is Joseph of Arimathea. So go in your Bibles to Mark 15. We're going to start in verse 42, the New Living Translation. It's just right after Jesus has died. He's hung on the cross. He has now died, okay? So it says, this all happened on Friday, the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. As evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea took a risk and went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Joseph was an honored member of the high council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come, meaning he was a secret follower of Jesus. Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was already dead, so he called for the Roman officer and asked if he had died yet. So the officer confirmed that Jesus was dead, and Pilate told Joseph that he could have the body. Now, I'm a very visual person, so I immediately start imagining this in my head. Here's Joseph of Arimathea. He's a high council member, very prominent member in the Jewish community, I'm sure revered and respected by many people in the community. And yet he's a secret follower of Jesus. Secretly, he believes what Jesus is saying. He believes that he's the Messiah. And up until this point, he hasn't said anything. You know, he's probably like us at times when we've been in a situation where we maybe could have stood up and we didn't. That might have been how he was feeling. Like, hey, oh, I should have done something to stop this, right? But instead, since he had done that, time's already gone by. When Jesus died, he boldly says he took a risk and he went to Pilate to ask for his body. Now, I can imagine, I'm sure that they're all gathered in a room somewhere, you know, courtroom, whatever, waiting all together. And here comes Joseph just walking to Pilate, having to walk through the crowd. All eyes are probably going, what is he doing here? What's he doing? Probably would have been real easy to just stop and go, you know what? It's fine. It'll be fine. I don't need to do this. I don't need to embarrass myself. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Will I be arrested? Will I be scoffed at? Will I be ostracized? He didn't know what could await him. But instead, he chose to be bold, and he took that risk, and he went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Sometimes boldness is simply standing up for Jesus in a world that hates him. It doesn't require some big, loud argument. That's not boldness. It's just standing up for Jesus when you don't know what may await you after you do it. Now, we don't know what happened to Joseph after the fact. We'll probably never know. But the fact that he was bold enough to go, even when he didn't know his fate, that's something I want to do. I want to strive to stand up for Jesus, even if I don't know what people are going to do. Are they going to laugh at me? Are they going to turn their back on me? Are they going to think I'm weird? I don't care. Because at the end of the day, the only thing I want to do is bring more people to heaven with me. Amen? That's our only job down here, so bring more people to heaven. Jesus was never silent. When Jesus saw something that wasn't right, that didn't line up with his Father's heart, he addressed it. But he didn't argue. No, he simply stated the word and then was quiet. Because he knew that's all he had to do was speak the word in love, right? He never, ever was baited. As many times as they all tried to bait him, he never fell prey to that. And I can guarantee if he was here today, he also wouldn't be falling prey to everyone's traps on social media when they try to bait you in your comments, okay? So let's be the bigger person, right? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes those comments are entertaining. I'm not going to lie about it, okay? But but that brings me to my second point. To glow requires loyalty to Jesus. We have to be willing to be loyal to him no matter what. And I'm sure everybody in here right now, if we did a quick survey and said, do you think you're loyal to Jesus? Everybody in here would raise their hand quickly and yes, emphatically, right? All of us would do that. But I want us to stop and ponder for just a moment. Am I truly loyal to Jesus? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to make his name great, no matter what it costs me? Loyal, by definition, means unswerving in allegiance. Unswerving in allegiance. So that actually reminded me of something that happened at our house about a month and a half ago. My children were actually out swimming in our little blow-up pool. And they're swimming. I was making dinner, and my two youngest children, Lila and Beckett, came running in the house, wet everything, slammed the door behind them, and they were like, Mom, there's thousands of bees outside. Okay, who has children in here? How many of you know that children love to exaggerate? Right? Yeah, okay. So I'm not gonna lie, I may have let out a giggle or two, and then was thinking in my head, yeah, there's probably 5 bees out there. You know, looking at our pollinator plants, right? So anyone who has kids, you guys understand that. Kids love to exaggerate. So they are like refusing to go back outside. So I'm like, all right, guys, fine, whatever. Dry off, clean up all the water. Let me go check on these thousands of bees, right? So I walk outside, shut the door behind me because they were making sure that door was not open. Shut the door behind me. I think they like shoved me out the door, actually. They were planning to make me the scapegoat. So I walk out the door, and all of a sudden, this is what I hear. Just like that. And for a moment, I'm like, am I in a scary movie right now? Like, that was kind of like, is somebody playing a trick on us? I look around, and there is literally thousands of bees swarming in my backyard. I was rather fascinated by it. Upon further investigation of my backyard, of course, there's still no children to be found because they're hiding behind the glass, hoping mom doesn't just get, you know, eaten alive or something. Thankfully, none of us are allergic to bees either, so that's a good thing. But so I start looking around and I see this in our yard, in our pine trees. Now, it's a bad picture because the sun was setting. I was trying to get a picture and, you know, the sun was not cooperating. It doesn't look that big. It's actually about like the size of a big beach ball. So it was huge, okay? And like any grown woman who's almost 40, what do? I call my daddy. Because dads have all the answers, right? Dads always have the answers. Except in this instance, he did not actually have the answer because he'd never had a bee swarm in his yard. So we, through ChatGPT, figure out that you can call a beekeeper. It's a fascinating thing. And they will come and remove the swarm. What I loved about the whole thing is learning more about bees. Now, I know about bees, but hearing it from the beekeeper was fascinating because upon more research, there probably was 25 to 30,000 bees in that swarm, and we think a squirrel or bird must have hit it when the kids were outside, and so they kind of got all frazzled, and then they went back to the swarm because they will never leave their queen bee. They follow that queen bee wherever she goes without question, without hesitation. They know that's who they have to follow, no matter what, even if it's death. They'll follow her. So as she was removing the bees, she kept checking her plastic box that she was putting them in to transport them because she rehomed them. And she kept checking it, kept checking it. And finally I realized, oh, she's looking for the queen bee. Because as long as she has the queen in that plastic box, they will all follow. And they will not go anywhere else. And by the end of it, it took about an hour and a half-ish to get them all cleaned up. I think she maybe left behind 2 bees. They all got in that box because they will follow their queen bee into the unknown, anywhere as long as she is there. How many of us can truly say we would follow Jesus to that degree? When we do not know where we're going, these bees, they think that they were probably had outgrown their current hive. So they were looking for a new hive. So they were literally following their queen bee into the unknown. They didn't know where they were going. How many of us are willing to say that we would do that without hesitation with Jesus? It's easy to say, but I'm sure all of us have walked through something where we have had to follow him, right? And just be, okay, Lord, if you say so, and it's hard. And I believe in these end days, it's gonna get harder. There's gonna be more opportunities where we really are following him into the unknown. But I know that if we do it, and if we are loyal to him, you know, I think it's in Psalms where it says he protects those who are loyal to him. But here's the thing. If we don't know him, we can't be loyal to him. You know, how many of you guys have a favorite like sports team? Football team, basketball, right? You probably know all of the stats, the players, their positions, the coaches, all the things, right? But if you didn't spend time getting to know them, you wouldn't know anything about them. I can stand here and say, hey, I am a loyal Minnesota Vikings fan, because I have been a Minnesota Vikings fan since I was a child. However, I know zilch about the team right now. I know that our coach is Kevin O'Connell. I almost said his name wrong. See, that's how much I know about him. I know nothing about them because that's not where my priorities are, right? I've got 4 kids, a full-time job, a husband, a dog. My priorities are not the Minnesota Vikings, okay? However, my son, Truitt, he's decided last year that he is going to be a loyal Detroit Lions fan. We will be having prayer over here for him after service if anybody wants to join. But nonetheless, he knows everything about that team. He knows the players, he knows their positions, their stats, he knows the coaches, he knows the plays, he knows who they're playing. In fact, just last week, he was on the phone with my grandpa in Michigan. They were talking about the first preseason game, what they think's gonna happen. He knows so much about them because he's loyal, right? He is loyal to them. But how many of us can say that we're that loyal when it comes to Jesus? That we spend time in the Word. We spend time, you know, making church, youth group, kids' church. Are we making that a priority in our life? If not, maybe we need to take a moment and have a little priority realignment, right? Because it's really easy in this world. The world loves to keep us busy. And all the parents say amen, right? The world is doing nothing, wants nothing more than to cause you to make your relationship with Jesus on the bottom of that list. It's the enemy's plan. He knows exactly what he's doing and why he's keeping us so busy, right? But this is what Jesus says about following him. In Matthew 16, 24 through 26, I'm actually gonna read it out of the Passion Translation. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. As you do, continually surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice and lose your lives for my glory, you will continually discover true life.'" Now, he's not talking about actually dying, right? He's saying, hey, surrender your life to me, and I will show you the meaning of life. I will show you what it's like to truly live, correct? "But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will forfeit what you try to keep. For even if you were to gain all the wealth and power of this world, but at the cost of your own life, what good would that be? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul?" So he's saying, hey, it's gonna cost a little bit to follow me, to truly follow me. Any of us can say that we like a sports team or whatever, but if we're not actually learning about them, we don't really know them, right? It's no different with Jesus. If we're not spending time in the Word, if we're not spending time praying, parents, make it a priority to get your kids here for youth group, for kids church, any events, all of those things will build them up, right? In this world, our enemy, the devil, he is getting louder and louder. And it is going to require us to get bolder and bolder with our loyalty. And that doesn't always mean with our voice, right? Sometimes, like I said earlier, actions speak louder than words. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't say much, but they didn't bow down to that statue of King Nezi, did they? No. They could have. I'm sure they were standing in front of the king when he's demanding that they bow down. Their hearts were probably beating out of their chest. Everything in their flesh was screaming at them. Just bow down. You don't actually have to worship him. Just bow down and pretend. Then you won't get thrown into the fiery furnace, right? I know I've been in situations like that. In fact, I was just the one the other day. My daughter and I, there's a movie that we like, and the sequel actually came out this week. Normally, I'm very vigilant about looking up reviews online, things like that. I have a Christian website that we look at that will make even like a great movie look absolutely terrible. But it's okay. I like that. I didn't do that this time because it was just me and my 15 and a half year old, Elena. So I was like, oh, it'll be fine. It's just us. It's rated PG. We get in the movie. We're about 20 minutes in. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes a very, very demonic presence. And I was like, nope, we're not doing this. I'm not going to sit here. So we gathered our things and we walked out of the movie theater. I was very disappointed in that movie because there's no reason for that to be. But it required us to be bold. I wasn't going to sit there and just go, no, it's okay. It's just a movie. We'll get through it. No. In these last days, he's requiring us to be a little bit bolder. Doesn't matter what the people in the theater think. Doesn't matter what your friends at school think when you won't come to that party. It doesn't matter what they think when you won't take that vape, right? Doesn't matter. We need to be bold, and we need to be willing to follow him no matter what, just like Shadrach and Meshach did, and Abednego. I almost forgot him. Right? And what did he do? He saved them from the fire. But they were willing to go, even if it meant they died, because they knew that they could not bow down to that statue because they were loyal to God. Am I right? And I know you all will do the same thing. We don't want to end up looking like everybody else. At least I don't want to. We weren't called to look the same, right? We were called to stand out. We should look different to the world around us. When your friends, coworkers, things like that see you, they should know there's something different about you. And if you have friends or coworkers, neighbors, that if they found out you were a Christian would be surprised, that's a problem, right? They should know there is something different. What are you putting in front of Jesus and your relationship with him where your priorities are out of whack? Is it your kids, your job, your sports, your spouse, your friends? None of those things are bad, correct? But when out of alignment, when they're pushing Jesus to the bottom of the list, now we have a problem, right? So I want to challenge you to take a moment over the next few days and look at your priorities. Make sure they're aligned. Have a family meeting. Make sure your family priorities are aligned, right? So that we can truly go and glow to the world around us. To glow to the world around us, we must display godly boldness. We must have an insane amount of loyalty to Jesus. And the next thing that is required to glow is an outrageous love. Outrageous love. John 13:35 in the New Living Translation says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I don't see anything there about what shirt you wear or what you post on social media, what books you're reading. No. Your love for one another is the only thing that he talks about there. I remember a song from one of my favorite bands growing up, DC Talk, that they had a song called What If I Stumble, and a couple of their band members are stumbling right now. But the greatest, they have a quote at the beginning of that song that says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, but walk out the door and deny him by their actions. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. That quote has always just sat in my heart. I know it's just a quote, it's not a Bible verse, but it's always made me aware. What do the people around me think? What are they seeing? You know, sometimes, if we want to be honest, there's a lot of people out there that are unbelievers, not because they haven't been presented with the gospel, but because the vessel that was bringing them the gospel was unloving, judgmental, just threw Bible verses in their face, told them to change. That's not how we win people. Did you ever see Jesus do that? No, never. It was always our love walk. And if you don't believe me, listen, just jump on Facebook and post something controversial and just wait for your comments to light up. Sadly, like that's not changing anybody's minds, right? We need to just love people. God is love. Amen. And so when we were born again, when we took on his image, his DNA, guess what? That means I am love. So everybody do that. Point at yourself. Say, I am love. Listen, if you need to stand in front of your mirror at home and just say that, do it. You got to do what it takes. Because we are representing him everywhere we go. Jesus never tried to put down people or never tried to call out their sin. He did encourage them to change, but he did it out of love, correct? He loved outrageously. Over and over again, we see him having dinner with people, associating with people that everybody around them was like, excuse me, no. Why are you hanging out with them? Right? He challenged it because he knew that he had to love people, even if the Pharisees were appalled at him. You know, one of my favorite stories is in John 8, when the Pharisees have the woman who was caught in sin, and they tell Jesus that she needs to be stoned. And he looks at them and says, okay, well, the first one of you out there who hasn't sinned, go ahead, throw the first stone. And I bet it got real quiet. And they slowly walked away. He went up in love and he picked her up in love and said, go and sin no more. I bet that spoke volumes. I bet she didn't sin again. Not because Jesus embarrassed her. No, because he loved her, right? He loved her with an outrageous love, a love that the world cannot wrap their heads around because that's not what they're used to. A love that will change hearts and bring hurting people to Jesus. You know, I really feel like it's up to us to change the reputation of the church. Because right now, let's be honest, most people have some type of church hurt. A lot of unbelievers or Christians that have turned their backs on the faith because of the way they were treated. We're all human, we all make mistakes, right? But I believe it's our turn, it's our time to step up and to love in a way that doesn't make sense so we can start to change the narrative. You know, when you choose to walk in love to that person who spread terrible rumors about you at school, you choose to walk in love instead of talking about them behind their backs, that will mess with their head. When you get passed up for a promotion at work because you know your coworker fudged the numbers and lied, and you miss out on the promotion, but yet you still walk up to them, shake their hands and congratulate them, that'll mess with their heads. When you walk into a coffee shop and you can clearly see that the person taking your order is very confused and living an alternative lifestyle. But yet you ask them how their day is and they tell you about their day, they ask you about yours, and you work into that, this is a true story, you work into that, that you work at a church, in fact, the church down the road, and their eyes get big because I'm not judging them. And I just say, hey, I'm so glad that you've had a decent day. Is there anything I can pray with you about today? Don't once call out the sin, but just love them. And they let me pray for them. That is love that they can't understand, that doesn't make sense to them. That is love that will penetrate the hardest hearts, right? That's the kind of love that we need to show. Jesus said that people would know you by your love for one another. They would know you belong to him by your love for one another. There's another trend that I really want to see go away in our churches. And that is this cancel culture within our churches. We're all human. We all make mistakes. Listen, we are all one bad decision away from being canceled. I don't care if you are a leader in a church, if you're just a lay person. But I'm so tired of seeing Christians mess up and then all the other Christians in their lives turn their backs on them. I'm not saying that there's not consequences and things like that for actions. Okay, that's got to be dealt with. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't walk up to them and be like, all right, come on, give me your hand. Do you want to change? And they say yes, and then you go, okay, let's do this. Let me help you get back on track. Let me pick you up. Let me show you love. We're not excommunicating you. How many of you guys have teenagers in here? How many of your teenagers have made really poor decisions before? I'm sure all of us, okay? Dude, we didn't excommunicate our children. No, we helped them fix it, right? We helped them fix it. Same way, there may be consequences. There may be consequences that they have to pay because of their actions, but we still love them and we help them fix it. Why can't we do this with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Why do we feel like if they mess up, oh, nope, you are blacklisted. Jesus never did that. And I know for a fact he wouldn't do that. His love is unconditional, right? So ours should be unconditional as well. You know, it breaks my heart when I see that. And this week, actually, I was listening to an interview and it absolutely crushed me. I was almost in tears. And I heard an interview, it was between Brandon Lake and Jelly Roll. Now, keep your opinions to yourselves about either one of those artists, okay? I know Jelly Roll is a secular artist, but what he had to say is incredibly impactful. I'm not endorsing him, just repeating this, okay? I just want to reference it. And truthfully, depending on the thoughts going in your head right now, maybe I'm proving my point. Hopefully not. But if you don't know, Brandon Lake has a song called Hard Fought Hallelujah that he has, and he actually asked Jelly Roll to come on and sing it with him, and record it with him. Jelly Roll was raised in church, not sure how Christian of a home necessarily, but he was baptized in a Baptist church at the age of 14, and then his parents got divorced, and it kind of ruined his life. And he went downhill real quick, got involved in drugs, alcohol, crime, ended up spending some time in prison, right? Came out, now he's living a life of fame. But he is actually trying to get his life back on track, according to what he says. He said there that he's been on a journey of losing weight and getting healthy, because he was like 500 pounds. And he said that as he was doing that, he realized that his thinking wasn't right. And he knew that in what he had learned growing up, the only way to change his thinking was to get back with God, to change his spiritual life. And I was like, okay. Well, then he goes on to talk about when Brandon called him to do the song. And I'm going to read it so I don't mess up what he said. Oops. But he said that Brandon called him and he said, quote, "I tried to give him and his team every out. I was like, man, you know there's a lot less controversial people that you could do this song with. And he, Brandon, said to me on the phone, everything I wish the church would have. And he said to me, the way he made me feel was like, well, if I would have felt this way on Sunday when I had gone to visit a couple of churches, who knows where I would be at my journey now? Maybe the things that people are still mad at me about and me not being where they think I should be, maybe I would already be there." That just grieved my heart to know that apparently he had visited a couple of churches and maybe the way he was dressed, how he looked, maybe words he said at church, who knows? But obviously they weren't real accepting. Here's someone who's lost, looking for the way, and was turned off by the church. And I thought, oh, that hurts. We got to do a better job. This is not okay. I mean, this is someone who, let's be honest, if he got radically saved, radically turned his life around, the people he could influence, and I believe he probably already is influencing just because he did that song with Brandon Lake, but how many of those people are in our communities, are in our schools, our workplaces, maybe people that we haven't invited to church because we think, oh, I don't know what the people at church will think about them. What if they don't dress right? Who cares? I don't see a dress code in the Bible, right? Listen, they just need to come as they are, and we just need to love them, because that's what outrageous love does. It finds them where they're at, and it brings them in, and it loves them. And you know, there's a lot of judgmental and legalistic Christians out there. And as I was sitting and studying and realizing that a lot of the church tends to look like Pharisees. Let's just be honest. I can say it because I was there. I was there. And I had a Holy Spirit awakening moment probably 10, 15 years ago. Actually, it's probably like 15, 20 now. Time goes by really fast, people. And I remember going, oh my goodness, I'm a Pharisee. This is not okay. Because I was so legalistic about things. And that's not freedom. And in Jesus, in the love of Jesus, there is freedom. Right? There is safety. But the irony in that is that the Pharisees were some of the loudest adversaries of Jesus' ministry. So if the church as a whole, I'm not saying us, because I know we're different, right, guys? The church as a whole looks like Pharisees. Have we become an enemy of Jesus and what he's truly trying to do? I had to sit in my room for a little bit on that because I realized very quickly, holy smokes, that's not really wrong. It's time for us to reevaluate our love walk and to love people the way Jesus loves people. In these last days, listen, there are so many people that are hungry for him. They're so hungry. They are searching. They are hurting. And we have the answer on the inside of us. But because of our actions, we're not sharing it with them. I know, okay, like this is kind of a silly example, but if any one of us in here were a doctor or a scientist, and we had found the cure for cancer, we wouldn't keep it a secret, right? We would tell everybody, and we would get it into the hands of whoever it needed to get into so that we could heal everyone around us, correct? Well, it's no different. We have Jesus on the inside of us. We have the answer. And yet every time we step out our door and we don't love people outrageously, we are running the risk of them going to hell when we had the answer the whole time. I, for one, don't want that on my conscience. I want to know that I did everything in my power to bring everybody with me that I could. And I know you guys feel the same way. So the next time someone hurts you, choose to love them. The next time someone backstabs you, choose to love them. The next time your closest friend says something awful about you, choose to love them. And let's change the narrative and let's love those around us, okay? Let's do it. Jesus never said following him would be easy. We knew that. It's going to make us uncomfortable at times. But as most of you have heard, I mean, there's no growth when there's not comfort, when there's comfort, right? We got to get out of our comfort zone. That's a whole nother topic. We're not even going there. So number four, to glow requires us walking in the Spirit. The great thing is we don't have to do this alone. We get help to be bold. We get help to be loyal. And we get help to outrageously love. Because we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, right? Jesus never said we had to do this alone. In fact, he didn't want us to. He actually said, hey, I gotta go because I'm sending somebody with you, somebody back to you that will never leave you. I'm human. I can only be at one place at a time, at that time, correct? He couldn't be with everybody. So he sent the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit could live on the inside of us and be with us everywhere that we go. And the things that God needs us to do in these last days will require the Holy Spirit, because we were never meant to do it in our own strength. Guys, you weren't meant to go to school in your own strength. You got to take the Holy Spirit with you, because you're going to face lots of things. And you need the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to lead you and guide you, right? Acts 1:8 in the New Living Translation. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people all over Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Nowhere there did he say only the people at church can do this. He didn't say only the pastors and teachers and youth pastors. No, he said, you will be my witnesses. You will go into the ends of the earth and tell everybody about me, right? So we are all called to go and be the light of the world to everyone around us. And he sent the Holy Spirit to help us, to give us that power so that when we go out into the world, we can truly glow, right? That same power that lived, that raised Jesus from the dead, now lives in you. I mean, just let that sink in for a second. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, frankly, I don't know how people do it without the Holy Spirit, because I can barely go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's just be honest for a minute, okay? Let's just be real, okay? And actually, I was at Reser's this week. Oh, I wasn't going to say the name. That's okay. I was at a grocery store this week, and nothing was ringing up correctly, okay? And this has been an ongoing issue, and so I noticed it, and, you know, and so I just nicely asked the gentleman at the self-checkout to come and help me. And it was 7:30 in the morning, so there's nobody there, okay? They had just opened, and the computer wasn't ringing things up the correct way. So I brought him over, explained to him what was going on, and I could tell he was getting very frustrated with me, even though I was being very nice. And I kept reflecting, oh, I'm actually preaching on this on Sunday. Let's see how this goes. And I explained what's going on, tell him the difference, and he literally was like, oh, I don't have time for this right now. Okay, my knee-jerk reaction was, there's like one other person here. It's 7:30 in the morning. This is literally your job. But I heard that still small voice, love him. And so I just looked at him and I said, I am so sorry for the inconvenience. This isn't my fault. This isn't your fault. This is the computer's fault. And I really appreciate you taking the time to fix this for me. His whole demeanor changed like that. And all of a sudden, he went from grumbling and fussing and not getting anything done because he was too worked up to get anything done, to all of a sudden, he had the answer. Maybe the Holy Spirit gave him the answer. I don't know. But he got it fixed. And I left. He even told me, have a great day. Because I chose to love him, even though I could tell he wasn't being very lovable. I chose to love him and to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me that was like, don't ruin this opportunity. Be Jesus. And, you know, it's hard sometimes, but we need to be Jesus. We need to love people. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. All right, back to my actual sermon here. In Joel 2:28, in the Voice translation, he says, then in those days, I will pour my spirit out to all humanity. Your children will boldly and prophetically speak the word of God. Your elders will dream dreams. Your young warriors will see visions. No one will be left out. In those days, I will offer my spirit to all servants, both male and female. Guys, we're living in those days right now. We are living in those days, and we need to take advantage of the Holy Spirit. We need to access him and make sure we are allowing him to help us in our everyday life, from the big decisions to the little decisions. We got a tough situation we're dealing with at school, maybe dealing with a bully. Ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, okay? He wants to help us, but we have to allow him to help us. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit maximizing our glow. Naturally, I'm a kids pastor, so I have to do an object lesson. Naturally, okay? When we are just us, we're humans. I know it's small. I literally have to, I had to open glow sticks here. So this is just clear liquid, okay? This represents us before Jesus. We are nothing special. We're just plain Jane, clear, probably not changing anybody's life, right? And then we accept Jesus. We allow Jesus to come into our life, to change us, to make us new. And all of a sudden, we are now glowing. And the world around us should be able to see a difference, right? When we're walking through the halls at school, walking through our neighborhood, there should be something different about us. But I don't know about you, but I've learned that I need the Holy Spirit with me every step of the way too. So when you finally decide to let the Holy Spirit rule you, to lead you and guide you in everything you do, something even greater happens. We get to add the Holy Spirit to our life. And it will become even brighter. And we can maximize our glow power to those around us. When people see us, when people look at us, they should instantly know there's something different about them. But we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And if you pay attention, it actually will start to dim after a few minutes. The chemical reaction that happens kind of starts to decrease. That's no different than our spiritual walk. We're always glowing because we've got Jesus on the inside of us. But if we are not staying built up in the Word, staying built up in prayer, built up coming to church, all the things, we will start to slowly dim. And then we'll have to be reactivated. We have to constantly be refilled with the Holy Spirit, right? So that we can glow in such a way that the world sees us and knows there is something different, right? Now you can be that unstoppable force for God. And we can bring so many lost people into the kingdom. How many of you want to bring lost people into the kingdom? I know that I can't bring anything else with me to heaven, so I might as well bring people. That's what we're called to do. We're called to seek and save, right? We're called to seek and save. We have to have a godly boldness everywhere that we go. We have to have an unmatched loyalty, an unswerving allegiance to Jesus. We have to love outrageously, and we have to walk in the Spirit, right? We have to walk in His power if we're going to do what we are called to do in these last days. Amen? You know, parents, I want to encourage you, pray for your kids that they are able to go into the world and be who they are supposed to be. Don't let your fear hold them back. I've been there. I'm a parent too. I've been there. But we can't allow our fear to hold our kids back. Because listen, our kids, our young adults, they were born for such a time as this. God put them on this earth right now for a reason. Which means He has equipped them with everything that they need for these last days. And I believe that our young people have a huge part to play in this end time revival. I can see it just by the hunger that they have. They are so ready. They just want to learn all that they can learn. And it just makes me so happy. Because guess what? They're bringing that glow into their schools, into their football teams, their baseball teams, their volleyball teams, their cheerleading squads, their chess clubs, right? They're bringing that glow everywhere they go. So pray for your kids. Do not try to stop their glow. Okay? Can we do that? It's hard sometimes because they're our babies. But at the end of the day, they belong to God. God's the one that chose them to be here at this time, right? Amen. We cannot stop glowing to the world around us. In the days that we're living, we are called to glow, to be the light of the world and bring so many people with us. So who's with me tonight? Today? Who's ready to glow? Amen. If you're ready to glow, I want you to stand up. I want you just to make a bold declaration before God that just says, I'm ready to take Jesus everywhere I go. And while you're standing, I got another little fun surprise. The ushers have a glow stick for each and every person in this room. Everybody is going to get a glow stick. Now, don't crack it yet. Okay, we're going to do that together. Just grab your glow stick. Don't crack it. Once everybody gets one, we have a little confession that we're going to make, because I believe that we are going to go and light our world for Jesus. I believe our kids are going to light their world. They're going to go into the schools. Our schools are going to be different. Our football teams, our baseball teams, they're going to be different because they've got kids on the team that are glowing brightly. I love fun things. That's why I'm in kids ministry. So when Pastor Denise told me I could give everybody a glow stick, I was like on cloud nine. Like, yes, this will be so fun. Give the ushers a second. Looks like we're getting close. I appreciate our ushers who are ready and willing to do whatever we ask of them, even passing out glow sticks to the whole auditorium. They're awesome. They're amazing. All right. Looks like most people have gotten one. Upstairs is getting them. Then know you're coming to church to have fun. That's the way church should be, right? It should be fun. All right, does everybody have a glow stick? I think so. All right, we can crack our glow sticks, everybody. They're gonna bring the house lights down. Look how bright we look. Isn't this fun? Oh yay, they even gave it to the music team. Look at us! We look so cool. All right. How fun. Okay, so now we have a confession to make. I'm gonna have to do this so I can read it. Everybody, hold up your glow sticks and say, I vow today to go and light my world. I will bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I will boldly stand up for Jesus. I will be loyal to Jesus, no matter the cost. I will outrageously love those around me. I will rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Let's go light our world. Amen. All right. And now every time you look at a glow stick, you can remind yourself, we're supposed to glow. All right, everybody can have their seats. We'll bring the lights back up. For just a moment, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the reminder that we are called to glow. Give us opportunities. Send people across our paths that need to hear the life-changing message of Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us boldness to stand up in the midst of adversity, to represent Jesus no matter the cost. We don't want one person missing heaven because we weren't bold enough to share Jesus with them. Give us eyes to see each and every person the way you see them, Father. Help us to walk in your love and to bring so many people into the kingdom of God. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With every eye closed and every head bowed, Maybe you're in here today and you say, my glow is dimmed. I was saved a long time ago, or at least I think I was, but now I'm not really living that life. And you want to rededicate your life, or maybe you're sitting here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've never made him the Lord of your life. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We don't want to miss up on opportunity. Any hands? Looks like we might be all family today, and that's okay. Well, listen, if you're sitting here and you didn't raise your hand, but you kind of felt like you should have, all these great ushers in the blue shirts, they'd be happy to pray with you. Ask the person next to you, hey, you know what? I felt like that was me. We want to pray with you. We don't want you to leave here the way you came. Amen. Father, we just thank you for those people. If there be anyone here that does need you, Father, I just thank you to send people across their paths so that they can get to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Well, this is a very special Sunday, right? Back to school Sunday, where Pastor prays over the kindergartners through 12th grade. So, of course, Pastor, come on up. Welcome, Pastor, to the stage. We have the best pastors on the planet. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Great job. She was in our youth group growing up when she had to move from Minnesota to come down here. I think our kids are in good hands, don't y'all? You know, somebody said, one time to me, said, you're a different kind of pastor. And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you just use all of your people, your children, your youth, everybody. I said, well, they're as much the pastoral staff as anybody else. And I lost that, Denise. I can't get it back. Okay. And all you kids, all you young people, I should say, from kindergarten through the 12th grade, I want you to all come down here and stand in front of me down here. What I'm trying to say is that many churches never allow their youth ministers or their children's ministers to ever speak to the main auditorium. And I told one pastor one day, I said, well, once you should do that because they're a part of the staff just like anybody else. And then besides that, it gives the people in the church to see who's over their kids. So that's why we do it. No. And our people are all part of the ministerial staff, and they do other, the children is her main thrust, but she also does other things. Now, Miss Denise, Pastor Denise, is running the youth group right now and doing a great job. She is wanting the youth to get involved. She's calling the school systems to see what we can do and how we can begin to glow. And as she was ministering that, I said, glow and go. Glow and go, you know. In fact, our youth group is going to have a big tailgate at Broken Arrow High School before the football game on Friday, September the 12th, giving free food, prayer, and inviting them to church. Our youth group is glowing. So that's one thing y'all can be praying about as our youth there as they do that. You know, if a church is going to be in a community, then they need to get involved in the community. And that's what I try to do in different areas. I don't know, now they've built a new stadium and stuff, but I know we used, at in years gone by, we had a sign. I paid the money from the church to buy the sign, right? Rhema Bible Church. See, you know, what she was talking about, glowing. You do that in many different ways, not just being there, just saying it, but you can do some stuff. Look at this group down here. Isn't this a great group? All of y'all stand. I'm going to pray for them, but y'all can too, okay? Reach your hands out toward them, because, you know, when I do baby dedication, I say, and remember, I have the church to say, because you are a part of the extended family. Now, many of you are immediate family, grandmothers and grandfathers and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and so forth. You know, when the church has been around a while, you get a lot of interaction with, there's a lot of family involved. But we are a spiritual family also, okay? Kids, let me say this to you. You might look up here and say, well, Pastor, you're old, but hey, I was where you were one day. It's a long time ago. I played ball. My best sport was running track, and I was good at it, really good at it. In 1957, I ran the 220-yard dash, not the 200 meters, but the 220-yard dash. I ran 23 flat, and the world record was 22.6, I think, was the world record. So, in fact, I got a text from somebody that had talked to John Hagee. He and I were in Bible school together, and he was telling them some stories. And he said, I'll tell you what, that guy was fast. But I've been there, and it's not easy to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. But that's the best decision you can make, and let the Holy Spirit help you on the inside. There's one time I had to make them stop the car, and I got out of it. They called me yellow. They said I was chicken and everything else. But I said, I'm not going. You guys are going to get in trouble. I'm not going. Well, blah, blah, blah. You know what they did. I mean, we're 16-year-old. Y'all know, some of y'all do know what I'm talking about. But you know what? I didn't get put in jail. They did. You know, it would have been easy. Say, okay, I'll just go along. I won't get involved. I'll just go along. It made no better whether I got involved or not. I was still part of it, okay? I told you that to let you know that I've been there. I know what it's like. And I'm going to pray for you today. Y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of young people and these that are standing before me today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as they embark on this new school year, their journey through this year, I thank you that you'd give them strength. I thank you'd give them spiritual guidance. I thank you that you would help them in every part of their life. Help them in their studies. Help them in their sports. Help them to be the best they can be. And let them remember that you said, if you need anything, call on me and I will help you. Father, today I thank you for each one of these. I thank you that each one, that you will minister to each one whatever they need to accomplish what their destiny in life for this year. We pray the blessing upon them, and I thank you that it is done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Bless you guys. Hey, you can go back to your seats now. We're really proud of all of you. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated out there for just a minute. Let these kids get back to where they belong. You know, as Angela was talking, ministering to us, wasn't that a good word? Wasn't that a good word? As you know, I was associate pastor for 6 years with my father-in-law. And just one Sunday night, I preached most every Sunday night. And one Sunday night, it must have been 68, 69. You know, for some of y'all, I mean, I graduated from high school in 58 and then went to college, you know, about there in that 59, 60 era. How many remember the hippie generation came along? Some of you might have been a part of it. So one night, these two guys come in the door. They look like it's probably 20, maybe 18 to 20, somewhere in that range. And they had on, I don't know what y'all call them now. For us older people, we called them undershirts. They just had a strap here, you know. I think you call them tank tops or something. I don't know what you call them. Anyway, they came in. One of them had tattooed Born to Raise Hell on his shoulder and I don't know what all. And some of the people sort of sneered at them and turned and I said, bring them in. I had them set right down to the front. I still remember. We had three sections, one here, one here, one here. And they set them down in the second row, right over here. I remember exactly. I gave the altar call. One of them came, gave his heart to God. And the other boy, afterwards I was talking to him, the other boy said, I think he did say he was 20 up for God. He said, this is the first time I've ever been inside of a church in my life. Now, he didn't respond to the call, but I thought to myself, what if they had turned him away? He'd never been in a church. He's 20 years old, never been in a church in his life. What if it had turned him away? You know, I leaned to my wife and said that, and she said, yes, I remember that. But, you know, hey, sometimes we need to realize just because somebody doesn't look the part. Now, like she said, sometimes there's consequences, but we can't just turn somebody away because of how they look. Okay? Well, that's my little sermon. Okay? Man, y'all look good. I hadn't been here in a couple of Sundays. thank the Lord for getting to take some time off. Amen. I'll be back one of these years anyway. I'm here today. Everybody stand. Anything else? That's what I'm fixing to do. Hey, would you go find connection team, go find a first time guest and take them to that special place right out front there. It's right out in the north lobby. We got a special gift for you. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come and join us. Amen. Staff is going to the doors to shake your hands tonight here at 6 o'clock. Be here. Praise the Lord. Next on Wednesday night, I'll be here Wednesday night. They done told me I have to preach Wednesday. I get to preach Wednesday night. Hey, love you guys. They're going to sing a song. Give me a chance to get out to the west door. God bless you. We'll see you.